So yesterday, it was such a beautiful morning. And I have this habit when we get to this season to want to jump ahead into March, April, and May. And because it was so sunny, I grabbed my cup of favorite coffee and I sat out on my deck and I gazed out over the landscape that is our yard, and that somewheres out there is my garden. And in that moment in time, the perfect setting, the perfect cup of coffee, the perfect sunshine, perfect brightness, I began to dream. And I began to think about my garden. And I began to plan and to think about where I would put things. And then it promptly got cold and those dreams came smashing down. I want to show you, today we're talking about being an image bearer of God. A Christian is an image bearer of God. In order to lean into that, we're taking our scripture from John the 15th chapter where it talks about, I am the vine and you are the branches. And I thought to add a visual to that, I would show you a couple of pictures from my garden. So this first picture is, obviously you can see there's corn and there's pumpkins and there's sunflowers. And one of the things that I really enjoy doing is companion planting. So I like to experiment with my garden. I love to just try different things. And companion planting is this idea that plants of different species can work symbiotically to increase the yield of another. So, for example, beans put nitrogen into the ground. Corn removes nitrogen. So you can plant them according to the ways that they interact with each other. So I got the brilliant idea this year that I would plant my vine vegetables in between my corn and sunflowers. Corn, sunflowers, grow tall, provide trellis, it'd be a good idea. Well, it was, sort of. One of the things that I realized, though, is that even though they're different species and they grow together perhaps really well, that the neat rows and the neat straight, you know, just like everything just so, wasn't going to happen. It was actually really chaotic. And at the very end of it, when I was going to pick corn, I was also picking squash from the same level. But here's something to make note of. I could identify the squash as squash. I didn't mix it up with corn. The corn didn't look like the squash plant, and the squash plant didn't look like the corn plant. They were very separate, but they were growing together and forming this one harvest of fruit and vegetables. It kind of struck me that maybe that's how we are as the church. We don't always package everything together and everything looks neat and tidy. But yet we come together and we grow and we encourage. And this is what we're going to explore today with the conversation of the vine and the branches. I want to show you another one. And this is my sunflowers. Now, no, I'm not 3 feet tall. I am the same height. Somebody told me last night, they said, oh, Dwayne, I didn't know you were 3 feet tall. No, those are 14-foot tall sunflowers. Now, I don't do anything special to my plants. In fact, some of those were actually seeds that had dropped from the previous year. And I had just kind of picked them so that they all kind of lined up in a row. And the reason why I grow sunflowers is I like to harvest the fruit of the sunflower, which is sunflower seeds. Isn't it interesting that the fruit off of the sunflower is actually a seed for further growth? The interesting thing for me is that if I apply it to the church, as we develop in the fruit of the Spirit, and others come alongside of us and they experience the fruit of the Spirit from us, it actually becomes seed toward them turning toward God. So, within the seed is the complete DNA and structure that everything that is needed to create a new plant. So, church, just another point from this, is that as we go out, and we're going to see as we move into Scripture here, that as we go out and we allow the fruit of the Spirit to be experienced through us, it actually becomes seed in other people's lives toward God. So those are just some pictures from my garden. Now here's another important point. I have shown you three rows of my garden. I have a 50 by 60 garden plot. This gives you a partial image of what the rest of the garden may have looked like. Last week, Jerry Mellis talked to us and he said this. He talked about how our everyday routines are missional and we are on co-mission with the Father. The effect of your presence in the lives of others can never be overstated. And I want to encourage you, church, that that is true. I had a conversation with somebody following the service last week, and they said, you know, when I first moved into this workplace, it was quite rough. And now I'm noticing that all of a sudden they're starting to become aware that I'm not the same as them. And I'm just doing my job. And the culture and the atmosphere of the workplace is changing. Could I present the argument that perhaps the fruit of the Spirit evident through that individual is actually planting seed within that workplace and changing the entire culture and drawing others to God? So church, what you do and where you are at is so, so very important. But it's just part of the image. Let's turn to Scripture. I want to park that idea of those two pictures being a partial image of my garden. So let's turn to John 15. It'll be up on the screen. And I'm reading from a different version that's perhaps on the screen, so just bear with me. John 15, starting at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The word of the Lord. I want to give you a little bit of context. So the context and the picture that you need to have here is that this is Jesus meeting with his disciples. They are somewhere in between the Last Supper and the moment in the garden. Commentaries have argued whether it's actually in the room where they had Last Supper, it was on the way. It doesn't really matter. It's the period of time between when Jesus has had the last moment of time with him and he said to his disciples, I'm going away, but someone new is coming, and pretty soon you'll see me no longer, to the moment where he is going to be crucified. This is also one of the last I am statements. It's number 7 in his discourse to his disciples. Now we all know that the number 7 is the number of perfection and completeness in Scripture. And so I would present the argument that perhaps this last statement, this 1-8, would have been Jesus kind of wrapping everything else up and saying, here's something for you to take. Now remember, the disciples have been with him for a couple of years now, 2 or 3 years, and they have seen so many things. They have learned from him. They've had food provided by him. They've been healed. They've walked. They've learned. They've been taught. He has been the core and the center focus of their entire lives over the last couple of years, 2 or 3 years. And then all of a sudden, the master, the teacher, is saying to them, I'm going away. Now, I think that this response is Jesus understanding and seeing in his disciples' eyes the bewilderment and the insecurity about being there, the key focus or the key figure in their lives being pulled away and leaving them on their own. And so Jesus, for whatever reason, whether he sees a vine as they're walking, whether because the vine was very prominent in Jewish culture, whether it was on the table or wherever, he takes this allegory and he begins to try to explain to the disciples the importance and the relationship that is between him and them. I want to take it verse by verse, and we're going to look at it and see what God would say to us out of this. So in verse 1, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. So we have this picture where Jesus is saying, if he is the true vine, there must have been a vine that was not true. So Israel was always God's initial intention to be the one that pointed people to God. And in this series of years and their existence, Israel began to fail in that. And so Jesus is once again correcting and refocusing. He says that I am the true vine. I am the completeness of the Godhead. I am the one that bears image and bears witness to the entirety of the Godhead. And I am the one. My actions, my teachings, my life points to God. He's also setting up this idea that the branches and him, or he and his disciples, have a very unique connection. Just like the branches and a vine have a unique connection, he and his disciples have a unique connection, and they are indistinguishable one from the other. We too are invited into this allegory. Just as the disciples are deeply connected to Christ, so are we now. And we are invited into this special relationship for purpose and a reason. So we move on to verse 2. There's the picture of the Father was introduced, and he says this: he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it'll be even more fruitful. Now, we know in nature that if you want something to grow best, you prune it back so that you get the best possible fruit developed or created. If a branch is withering, you cut it off. There is pruning that happens in nature. The idea is that for those of us that are the part of the life of Christ, we are to be bearing fruit. But we're also to be bearing fruit increasingly, not just static. And so sometimes we have to be pruned so that our spiritual lives will develop and grow. Spiritual pruning moves us from being immature to maturity, and that's the goal of the Christian walk. Now, just as fruit and a garden takes time to grow, so does our Christian lives. You do not accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and immediately become the massively mature Christian that, you know, is such a wise sage in all the things Christology. That doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. It takes effort, just like a garden does. Then in verse 3, we see this kind of, for me, it's a really random sentence, because he's talking about the true vine, he's talking about branches, and then he throws this in, and this is Jesus doing this. So I think we need to pay attention. He says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. This is a clue on how the pruning happens in our life. He says, already clean because of the word. Jesus is referring to the cleansing and the purity of the word of God that has already been imparted. In Hebrews 4:12, we know that the word of God is living and active. We know that it penetrates to the dividing of soul and spirit, the joint soul and spirit, the joints and marrow. We know that the word of God judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Charles Spurgeon said this: it is the word that prunes the Christian. It is the truth that purges him. The scripture made living and powerful by the Holy Spirit effectively cleanses the Christian. In other words, church, this is the pruning instrument of the Father. Let's move on to verse 4. Verse 4, he says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." A lot of abide in, abide at, you know, there seems to be a lot of bouncing around in that scripture. So I think what's happening here is that Jesus can almost, there's still this bewilderment on the faces of Jesus' disciples. What does this mean? What is this? How am I going to respond to this? So Jesus puts this sentence into play, and it's almost like their final charge, because he's saying, abide in me and I in you. A branch can't bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, and neither will you unless you abide in me. And so what he's trying to do here is to say that the outworking of the fruit of their ministry comes through their connection with him. Now I want to, there's one small word here that we sometimes skip right over. And it's that word in. Now scripture says, unless the branch abides in the vine. Now I don't know about you, but I don't often say, hey, that branch is in the tree. I would say the branch of the tree or the branch on the tree. If you say on, there's so many things that it could be. Right now, I've got lots of branches that are on my trees, but they're broken off. They just haven't fallen yet, right? There's a difference. So that word in means that there's something really specific about the relationship between the branch and the vine. And the Jewish people would have been really familiar with this, because what Jesus is trying to communicate is, together, Jesus and the disciples form a whole, neither being complete without the other. So the point of the vine and the branch is the vine yields proper juice and nourishment to all the branches, whether large or small. The nourishment of each branch and tendril passes through the main stalk or the vine that springs from the earth. So Jesus is the source of all the strength and grace to his disciples. He is their leader, teacher. He imparts to them as they need grace and strength to bring about the fruit of holiness and to continue his ministry. One commentary puts it this way: in a oneness of relationship to God, in this relationship, he, meaning Jesus, is the Son. And we in him receive the standing of sons. He has access ever into the Father's presence, and we through him, being Jesus, and in him have access with confidence and are accepted into the Beloved. So we, what boil it down to today, we are accepted in it and invited into the mystery of the wholeness of God, participating and bearing witness to the character of God. As we, churches, we develop a greater picture of God and his relationship to us and through us to the world, our outward expression of the fruit of the Spirit will gives evidence of the inward activity of the Spirit. So we have this connection. Jesus was trying to communicate to his disciples that they are so deeply connected, they are almost one. And so, church, as followers of Christ, because we are part of the vine, we are indistinguishable from the character of Jesus as we remain in him. And how do we remain in him? I'm glad you asked. Because I'm going to get to that shortly. Verses 5 and 8. It's a Jesus goes on to say, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like the branch that is thrown away and withers. And such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. So Jesus again reiterates what he said from the first. And he indicates that remaining in him results in, the normal result of remaining in Jesus is the bearing of fruit. Church, our remaining in the vine, the natural occurrence of that, whether you're at wherever you are, is the outworking of the fruit of the Spirit. So people around you will begin to experience love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc. But the key is, are we remaining in him? We know, Jesus again throws in, that if you don't remain in me, there's a repercussion. Your spiritual life will fade and will die and wither just like the branch. And we know that to be true. If we prune a branch off of every February, I take my raspberry canes and I cut them all back. Doesn't matter. If they're the dead ones, I remove them, obviously. But even the newer ones, I cut them all back to 3 feet. And there's a reason for that. And the reason is, I'm pruning the back so that the energy will go into fruit development rather than extending. So we know that in nature, which has been created by God, which will give an illustration of how our spiritual lives will work, we know that if a branch is separated from the vine, it dies. How much more so should we pay attention to our own spiritual well-being and care and connectedness to the vine? So how does that happen? Jesus clarifies it in verse 7. He said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. Did you catch it? I'll say it again, because he's clarified it. He's focused it. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So Jesus has said that he has moved from if you remain in me and I remain in you, he's gone if you remain in me and my words remain in you. What is the words of God? Scripture. Jesus is saying, if my teaching is so ingrained with you as to control your thoughts and ideas, and they remain as your guide and inspiration, the natural outworking of that is the fruit of the Spirit. You will bear fruit. And I think sometimes, church, we have this propensity. Excuse me. We so want to hear from God. And we desire to. And I believe our hearts are pure in that. But yet we run to this place and to that place and to perhaps this person and to that person. And we're looking for that because as humans, we're just human. We want our answers now. And we want our growth now. And we want to be able to be all things, you know, all at once. And Jesus dials it right back and says, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you. Now, I'm not saying, you know, consulting and asking and praying together and talking and sharing. I'm not saying that's wrong. But I'm saying if this is not the core, the basis, the foundation from which you hear from God, in which you allow your spiritual life to be pruned and developed and encouraged and grown. This is where we need to go. And this is what we need to focus on. The interesting thing is that this takes time, doesn't it? In order to process it. I'm currently working through the New Testament, and I was sharing last night with someone that I've been almost a year and a half in the New Testament. And so I was challenged on that, and they said, well, what's your reading plan? I said, I don't have one. In fact, I find reading plans really difficult because they always put a task in front of me that I have to catch up to. And if I don't meet that task, I fail. Now, I want to be really clear. I'm not against reading plans. They are very good. But for me in this season, what I needed to do was to go through the New Testament line by line, scripture by scripture, until something jumped out. And then I park myself there and I learn about it. I research it. I develop it. In fact, the focus was scriptures that I've quoted for years. My heart was, God, do they really mean what I think, or what I think they mean, and how I'm using them? We are really careful in our English language to make sure that we say exactly what we mean. And yet sometimes we quote scripture without actually really knowing the full context and the full scope of what it actually means. So that's how I'm approaching it. And scripture it's coming alive. There are things that I'm learning that I've never learned before. But I'm coming back to the core. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will bear fruit. And that's what I want for me. And that's what I want for the church. And that's what I want for each of us. To take just a side note, there's a part of that verse that is, I feel, often really misquoted. Or misused, perhaps, is a better way. It says, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I wish it worked that way. I wish I could just say, hey, God, just give me a brand new vehicle with fully leathered seats and warm and cooled in the summer and, you know, surround sound stereo and all of these things. I present that as a bit of lightness. But sometimes we quote that verse with that intention, don't we? It's like, just give me what I want. It'd make my life so much easier. And I don't think God's necessarily in he makes our lives necessarily always easier. We don't learn from that, right? But I'll offer it to you through a commentary. The believer in Christ, full of his words, ever more consciously realizing union with Christ, charged with the thoughts, burning with the purposes, filled with the words of Jesus, will have no will that is not in harmony with the divine will. In other words, when you quote that passage of scripture and you're based in the word, our asking will not come from a place of material or carnal request, but from a place of spiritual humility, wanting to see the kingdom and purposes of God come to pass. Whether it's in my life, your workplace life, our congregational life, wherever. I offer that for your consideration. So what's the purpose? What's the purpose of the vine and the branches? Verse 8 shows it to us really clearly. Jesus says to his disciples, all of the things that I've said before, here, this is what he says. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So the purpose of our bearing fruit is so that the Father would be glorified, so people would be exposed to the character of God through our lives wherever we're planted, so that they would be drawn into a saving knowledge and a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. Bearing fruit is the evidence of God at work, the outward working of an inward change. Bearing fruit illustrates the power of the gospel and God's grace that brings that change. And bearing fruit does one other thing for each of us. It's a process through which the Christian is restored to the divine image. Now, I would not know, or, well, perhaps I would, but and some vines, when they are growing all mixed together, I may not be able to distinguish one vine from the other until I know what fruit comes off of it. It's the same for us. The evidence of fruit in our lives bears witness and bears the image of God. In essence, we become image bearers, just like that fruit tells me it's a squash plant. The evidence of love in my life tells you that God's at work in me. Or some, if you don't know God, then something's at work. Genesis 1:26 says this, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to us according to our likeness.'" Romans 8:29 challenges us to be conformed to the image of God. Being an image bearer is a natural outworking of the work of the Spirit. And all of this hinges on one small thing. It's actually really large, but it's that point at which the branch is in the vine. It's the connection. And how do we do this well? To put it simply, abiding in Jesus doesn't require advancing beyond the gospel to something else. It doesn't demand a crisis decision or a mystical experience. It just means keeping the words of Jesus in our hearts and minds so that they are renewing and reviving us, shaping and sanctifying us, filling and forming us. In summary, to abide in the vine means to be united to Jesus, to rely on Jesus, and to be in relationship with Jesus. I want to come back to that picture that I showed you earlier, the picture of the garden. So those two pictures were not the total image of what the garden was. It gives you a feel for perhaps of what my garden looked like. The full picture is each plant, each section, growing, supporting, and from us, loving, living all from the same source, from ground that has been worked and fertilized and prepared. Your church, your day-to-day existence in all its uniqueness and functions, it plays an integral part in showing the glory of God. You are a reflection of the Creator. And as a body, we are a reflection of the Creator. One other image that I want to leave with you. A vine will often intertwine with another vine. And by doing so, they add support and they strengthen and they grow each other and they can bear the burden of the fruit. And I want to encourage you that all of us are branches together. And as we come together on weekends like this, it reminds us that we're not just one branch out here on our own, but we're actually all interconnected. And we can gain strength and support and encouragement. And we can experience the fruit of the Spirit at work in and through each one of us, moving in and through each of our lives and our existence and our connections with each other. And by doing so, we become stronger and we become more and we begin to reflect the image of God in greater and deeper ways.